Good morning, everybody. Good morning. A few words about the background to our reading today. This story is actually part of a narrative, a number of incidents in Jesus' life that Matthew tells us about. Jesus was in Galilee. John had just been beheaded, John the Baptist, and John's disciples had come to tell Jesus about this. Jesus was sad. I'm sure he was distraught. And Jesus went off to a quiet hillside to pray and to be with his Father. But peace was not to be for him, because crowds came out of the towns and cities all around, and they flocked to Jesus. And so he spent the day healing the sick. In spite of the fact that he was distraught and probably quite distracted, his concern was for the people, and he healed the sick. We're told that at the end of that time, towards evening, he fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Then he made the disciples get into the boat. From our reading today, he made the disciples get into the boat and he sent them off. This was unusual for Jesus, because he usually travelled around with his disciples. The disciples probably didn't want to go because he had to make them get into the boat. But Jesus had to sort something out, because the crowds were flocking to him, wanting him to be their king who would lead their fight against the Romans, that he would be a warrior king and they would be free from oppression. But that was not the crown that Jesus sought. Jesus had a whole different ballgame, a whole different plan for his people. It wasn't the crown of a victorious king. And the disciples at this time probably thought the same thing. They thought that Jesus was going to lead the people against the Romans. So Jesus sent them away because they were making things even more difficult for him. And he dealt with the crowd and he went off again to a quiet place. And that was when the storm got up. And Jesus realized that the people, his disciples, were out in the boat without him, and that they were afraid. And we have this story of Jesus walking on the water in the dark, somewhere between 3 and 6 a.m., to his disciples. There's been a lot of debate about what this really means. There are some Christians who would like to believe that the boat was blown towards the edge of the lake, and Jesus walked through shallow water and through the reeds, and that's how he walked to the boat. There was nothing miraculous in it. I have no problem in believing that Jesus could walk on deep water. The God that I follow is an awesome, powerful God who can work outside the normal physical laws. You see, we're told that the boat was a considerable distance from land. In John's Gospel, it tells us they were 3.5 miles offshore. Why would the disciples be so terrified to see Jesus or any man paddling in shallow water? It doesn't really make sense. I mean, some of the disciples were fishermen who knew the lake like the back of their hands. If they were at the edge, they wouldn't have been afraid. They would have known that they were almost safe. Why would Peter sink and need to be saved in shallow water? Why would Matthew, Mark, and John all relate this story, if it was only about Jesus paddling in shallow water towards a boat about to land on a beach? Why would the disciples recognize in this incident that Jesus is the Son of God, unless something powerful and miraculous had occurred? Whatever Christians believe about this account, it tells us that Jesus comes to us in our need. He calls us out of our boats to follow him. He rescues us when we get it wrong and we lose our focus on him, and he never lets us sink. He truly is the Son of God. Amen. I'm delighted that the service is being led by the Guild members today. It's lovely to have different faces at the front leading us in worship. On Tuesday night at East Calder Church, we gathered for a lovely service to rededicate the Guild for the year ahead, and we all had communion together. We were reminded that the Guild is in a 3-year focus at the moment, and this is year 3. In year 1, the focus was acting justly. In year 2, last year, the focus was loving mercy. And this year, the focus for the Guild is walking humbly with God. Our reading this morning is from the lectionary, but it fits very well with the theme of walking with God. The account of Jesus walking on the water gives us a blueprint for our Christian lives. The disciples were alone in their boat. Jesus was not in the boat. They were being buffeted by the waves. The waves were towering over them. The wind was against them. Some of them were seasoned fishermen, but even they were quite afraid. They felt helpless on their own. And when they saw a man walking towards them where a man should not be, they were terrified, thinking it was a ghost. They did not recognize Jesus. Sometimes when our lives are in greatest turmoil, when we're emotionally distraught and upset, when things are going wrong and we're in the darkness, we don't recognize that Jesus is standing beside us. When we need him most, we forget that he is there. Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." This is Jesus' most consistent message in his whole ministry, "Trust in me." These words would be repeated much later when he was about to leave his disciples and face his death. And he sought words to comfort his disciples. And in John 14 at verse 1, we see the words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me." And later in that same chapter at verse 27, he says, "My peace I leave with you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." When the disciples heard these words from Jesus, I wonder if they remembered back to that time in the boat when they were cowering in fear and Jesus came to them. What happened next is often described as Peter at his most impulsive. Peter jumping in with 2 feet, literally, not thinking about what was going to happen next. But in fact, Peter did not rush into the water. Peter took a step back. He thought to himself, "I need to check this out." And so he asked, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." And here is a blueprint for Christian calling. Before acting, check it out. Is the call to walk a certain path really the Lord calling? Or is it a figment of my imagination? Is it something I want or something I hope for? We cannot walk humbly with God if we follow our own pride and make our own journey. But if we seek confirmation, and we do that by prayer and by reading God's word and by speaking to other Christians that we trust, and if Jesus still says, "Come," then we can start on that journey. Peter checked it out. And then he stepped out of the boat. And again, Peter is often criticized because he took his eyes off Jesus and he sank beneath the waves. But how much more heroic was it that he got out of the boat in the first place? This wasn't some stepping into the shallow end of a swimming pool. It wasn't even a calm, glassy sea. The waves were towering and the wind was blowing, and Peter stepped out into that. Peter might have failed, but there were 11 greater failures cowering in the boat. They had heard Jesus also. They had seen him, but they were not going to get out of the boat. And what an opportunity they missed. What an opportunity passed them by. Because for a few glorious moments, Peter walked on water. The first human being in the history of the world, he walked on water. And he would remember that for the rest of his life. But he was only human in nature, and he did soon fail. He took his eyes off Jesus, and he looked at the troubles around him and the waves, and he fell beneath the waves. Rather like the foolish people I read about this week in the paper, who wanted to go to the Holy Isle at Lindisfarne. I don't know if you read that in the paper this week, and if you've been to the Holy Isle, you know that it is cut off at high tide. You can drive over the sand on a road at low tide, but at high tide it just doesn't exist. It's absolutely spectacular. And there are notices in all the towns and villages round about, and big posters at the start of the causeway saying when you can go and when you can't go. But people know better. And so this group in this car set off 45 minutes after it was safe to do so. And funnily enough, they got stranded in the middle. And the waves were swamping their car by the time the Coast Guard arrived. This is a regular trip for the Coast Guard in this area, as it is at Crammond Island when people don't read the signs and walk over the causeway and get stuck on the island. Some people will not be told. They do their own thing. But they risk destruction in the process. Our safety lies in trusting and obeying Jesus, putting aside our own pride and walking humbly in his way. No doubt the people in the sinking car got their mobile phone out and phoned the Coast Guard. Peter couldn't do that. He just cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. What a wonderful picture that is. Jesus, the Saviour of the world, putting his hand into Peter's hand, flesh on flesh. The strength and the security of that hand around Peter's hand. And Jesus would not let go. Imagine Jesus holding your hand like that. I suspect we are more like, or our relationship with God is more like a picture of Michelangelo in the Sistine Chapel. My son Callum and his new wife Melanie are just back from honeymoon in Rome, and they went to the Sistine Chapel and were amazed by all the art round about. I've not seen it, but I'm sure some people here will have been in the Sistine Chapel. And he brought back some photographs, including the photograph of that most famous picture of God pointing from heaven with his finger outstretched, and Adam is below pointing up with his finger outstretched, but the two fingers just don't quite meet. And that says a lot for me about our human condition. God stretches down to us and we do reach up, but often we don't quite make that connection. I prefer the picture of Jesus and Peter holding hands, and neither of them are going to let go. You see, there are times when we are in a stormy sea, where darkness is all around, when we feel intense pain, physical or emotional, when we feel hopeless and helpless. Jesus has already reached out his hand, and already he has taken our hand. We might feel that he doesn't pull us out of the water immediately. We don't get taken out of our situation immediately, but he will not let us sink. We might go through a period of mourning or challenge or testing, but we will not sink. The words of Psalm 40 are appropriate here. Psalm 40 from at the beginning. "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord." These are such comforting words. They could describe Peter's story at this point. He waited for the Lord, and the Lord pulled him out of the water and placed him in a firm place. And in fact, Peter became that rock. Peter sang a new song. And through that, through what Peter said and the life he lived, others could see and put their trust in the Lord. Peter was to sink below the waves again, probably many more times. But he was to learn that Jesus would never let him go. We know that he would deny him three times on that crucial night when Jesus was arrested. He would say three times, "I don't know him, never knew him." And he would run away and hide. But he was to jump out of a boat again after the resurrection. He was to jump out of a boat and he was to run towards the risen Jesus on the shore. He knew and he trusted the Lord. The Lord transformed his life. And Jesus would restore him with love and forgiveness and amazing grace. Where are you in relation to the boat today? Where are you in relation to Jesus Christ? Are you sitting on the deck in a calm sea, in a padded deck chair, sipping a glass of wine with your sunglasses on and not even aware of what is going on round about you, not quite focused on the world? Are you huddled in a boat in a storm with a life jacket on, afraid to move? Are you one leg in the boat and one leg out, with a toe in the water, thinking, "I might just take a step here, but I'm not sure"? Are you out there walking on water and loving it? Have you stepped out of your boat, but you're in a bit of a storm right now? Things are not at their best. If you want to read more about this topic, I would recommend the book by John Ortberg, If You Want to Walk on Water, You Have to Get Out of the Boat. Some of you will have read it. It's been around 10 years or more. But it's a wonderful book about stepping out of our boats. You see, he tells us that if we succumb to staying where we are in our boats and not taking any action, well, boredom will set in. We will fall into sinful patterns of behaviour that never get confronted and changed, he says. Abilities and gifts that never get cultivated and used. Until weeks become months and months turn into years, and one day you're looking back on a life of great bold prayers that were never prayed. Exhilarating risks that you never took. Sacrificial gifts that you never offered. Lives you never touched. And you're sitting in a recliner with a shriveled soul and forgotten dreams, and you realise there was a world of desperate need. And a great God calling you to be part of something bigger than yourself. You see, the person you could have become and did not. You never followed your calling. You never got out the boat. And then John goes on to tell us about how we can step out of that boat. It is never too late to get out of the boat. It is never too late to ask Jesus into your life for the first time. You just need to say the three words that Peter said, Lord, save me. It's never too late to begin a new walk with Jesus, to find new direction. Perhaps you have had a relationship with Jesus for many years, and you can still deepen that relationship. Jesus wants to do a new thing in your life. When Jesus climbed into the boat, Peter and the others, they calmed down. The waves calmed down. Peace descended. Fears were banished. Courage restored. Faith strengthened. As they worshipped the Lord and said, truly, you are the Son of God. I would ask you to let Jesus climb into your boat today. Let Jesus be the timbers that keep you afloat and watertight. Let him be the sails that fill with the wind of the Holy Spirit in your life. Let him be the tiller that moves you along in the right direction, or the compass that shows you which way to go. Let him be the berth where you can lie down and rest in him. Let him be the galley that fills you with the bread of life. Let him be the anchor that holds you firm in the storms of life. Amen.